Blog Talk Radio.
923, I'll give you a corrected address, but you have a fire in a one story. Ordinary, looks like it's about 40 by 120, 125. Get your traffic control. Squad 5. And go to 273-273.
Sons of the Flag coming to you on fireengineering.com, Blog Talk Radio. Today is Tuesday, July 3rd, 2018. This is John Walters, and I am joined by Mr. Greg Turnell from Washington, D.C., and Mr. Glenn Burnett from Virginia Beach. And how are you two doing today, brothers?
I'm doing great.
Good, sir. Good, sir. Glad to be here. I love that opening. That's badass.
Yeah, we have, let's go through the bad news first, and then we'll get into some of the good news. We always start that off with the going home from the pipe band. We, in the FDNY this past week, we laid to rest Chief Ronald Spadafora, who died from 9/11 illness. He's been sick for a few years, and he's still active when he passed away. And I thought it was a nice tribute that at the funeral they carried the Stokes basket with the American flag in it, just like they did taking the people out of the Trade Center. I thought that was a nice little gesture. Now, Chief Spadafora was a 4-star chief with, I don't know, probably close to 39 years on the job. And he had run into us down at FDIC the past couple of years and came over and introduced himself like, I wouldn't remember who a 4-star chief was, which was kind of funny, but very humble and, you know, just come up and say, you know, hey, John, how you doing since the accident? You know, he's like, you know, I'm Ron Spadafora. I don't know if you remember me. And I'm like, yeah, chief, remember you. So that was a tragedy. We also lost a member that worked at the 10 House a couple days ago. He's retired. Was killed by carbon monoxide poisoning on a boat. So we should remind everybody about the dangers of this coming boating season with carbon monoxide and stuff. The real bitch to survive 9/11 and end up dying something else. There was also a firefighter out on the West Coast that was shot and killed at an incident, which was tragic. We just had the anniversary of the Hackensack fire. I'm sure both of you remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
With the bowstring trusses.
Yeah.
Somebody very close to
from the...
From the Hot Shots, yes.
Right.
The 19 from the Hot Shots, and also the... since our last show was the Charleston 9 also. So, geez, it just keeps like... It just keeps adding and adding and adding, and... very close to home, very good friends of mine. One of my child's godparents lost a family member due to suicide. So let's not forget that also. And just craziness for the last month or two. Anyway, let's go to some good news. We got that out of the way. Not that's out of the way, but you know what I mean. So, Greg, let's start with you up in D.C. We saw today that the captain from your rescue company retired. So kudos to him on a lengthy career and stuff like that. So between your anniversary party and the captain retirement, there's been a lot of parties up there.
Yeah, Eric McGuire, he retired out of Rescue 3 downtown. Had a good career and real great guy. Hate to see him go, but it was his time, and he's ready to go off and do other things. So, but he earned it.
That's outstanding. So, and Glenn, what do we got going on in the Virginia Beach area there?
So, retiring, we've had two captains and what we call a master firefighter retired, basically 40 years apiece on for the captain side. So that's a lot of knowledge walking out the door. And so it's incumbent, or it's our job, to make sure that we pass that information so that nothing gets missed. So those who are nearing that time frame, they need to really think about, you know, their legacy and what it means and how it comes about. I know that, Captain Mark Maples and, we have Captain Mike Mullins is 40 years, and we have a master firefighter that has gone through his 29 years of service, Alan Walters. He's moving on, and that's the point. The point is to get through your career and retire with something to do and move on and do that. And so, but you have to make sure it's incumbent on you to make sure you pass that information on. So, as a new firefighter, it's your job to kind of pull that information out of them, because some people just don't talk about it, but you have to get those experiences and understand them and be able to learn from them. But, so we have, retirements are happening all the time. And, same with what Greg was talking about. It was good stuff. I did miss Captain Maples' retirement, the send-off. I was off work and busy on a little issue. So, but I know it was good. I know he's happy to make that timeline, that retirement.
That's awesome.
Also have locally here, obviously, the 4th of July, big event, Patriot. We have our big event down at Virginia Beach. I'll be working tomorrow. And then we have our coming up, the ADS is doing the Warrior Expo East. And it's a great event. ADS has been very supportive of Sons of the Flag. They've assisted us numerous times with – you name it, I call them, and they're there to help. Miss Debbie has always been very good to us. The vendors, that work with ADS are always supportive. S&S Precision, they have a big day on Tuesday, actually, locally here in Virginia Beach. So they're having their shop show. Starts around noon. Mission Barbecue, of course, always doing a great job, helping out. And They always support of us, even with Sons of the Flag.
Glenn, do you have the dates for that Warrior East in Virginia Beach?
So the Warrior East will be Wednesday, July 11th, and July 12th, Thursday. So it's a full day on Wednesday, basically maybe till 4 o'clock on Thursday. And so it's a full day. They have a keynote speakers coming in, Marine Corps General James Conway, retired generals coming in to be the keynote speaker. So that should be very good. Always informative. You get a perspective, military perspective, and what he's done and how he's, what's the future, and that works out pretty good. So, and again,
outstanding.
ADS. Yeah, they're gonna. It's gonna be locally here at the oceanfront at the convention center, Virginia Beach Convention Center. So you can go online and register if you're local. You just basically need a police, fire, military ID to get in, and they have all kinds of vendors. There's some great classes that they have set up. And we'll have a booth in the – they have like a whole row. ADS gives free booths to nonprofits, and there's just a bunch of us in the nonprofit row. It's always a good time, meet some great people, all doing the right thing and, moving their program forward and getting the word out.
Very cool, very cool. So, again, that's July 11th and 12th. At the Virginia Beach Convention Center for the Warrior East and Sons of the Flag. We'll have a booth there. Come and meet some of the people that help out at Sons of the Flag. I wanted to tell both of you guys also, I got an invite in the last 2 weeks ago. One of my friends that I grew up with since before kindergarten and went to school all the way through graduation. Well, his last name is Wade, so we kind of were in the same homerooms and all that. We played soccer together, and he went on to become a lacrosse player and played at Annapolis. And still in the Navy and was just made a rear admiral and put in charge of the 12th Carrier Strike Group. So his new home base is out of up by you, Glenn.
Mm.
And he will be on the USS Abraham Lincoln, I believe, will be his flagship.
Nice. Nice.
So we'll have to rope him in to come in to speak at a couple of events up in that area. I know Greg, we also have the conference coming in October in Millersville. Is that
October,
how you say it?
October 22nd.
Yeah, and Jeff Cool, I heard it, by the way, is coming also. And from what I gathered, that's right near one of the Mission barbecues also, so I'll have to talk to Bill Krause about that. But it would be really cool to get an admiral to come out there, and it would be great to see him too because I wasn't able to go to the ceremony for him taking over the fleet and stuff. So I just want to flash back for 1 second what you guys said about the senior guys and passing it on and everything else. In the last week or so, we have a captain from the FDNY named John Vigiano, who was instrumental in doing that for years and years and years. Was a former firefighter and officer at Rescue 2, been around through the war years of the FDNY and about as nice as they come. He lost both of his sons on 9/11. One was an emergency service cop. One was a firefighter. Both of his sons were killed. And Captain Vigiano was put in hospice within the last week. So we'd like to send some prayers out to the Vigiano family. And he's a living legend in the FDNY. So we want to pass along well wishes to the Vigiano family. And like you guys said, always about passing it on and teaching a younger crowd. And DeVidge was one of those guys that he could do it with the old guys. He could do it with the young guys or anybody in between. And that's a rare character to be able to do that.
Right.
So we got the October Millersville, Maryland, October 22nd to the 24th. So that should be pretty cool. You'll be able to get some information on sonsoftheflag.org as soon as we have it all put together. The Warrior East coming up this week, July 11th and 12th. And then also back into October, Greg, we are having the clay shoot again, correct?
Yep. It's going to be our sixth annual clay shoot held again at Schrader's, Lewis class. We're going to have 75 targets for $100, and Mission Barbecue will also be there. And we've got Federal Resources, which is a big company here on the Eastern Shore that outfits first responders and military with equipment. They're going to be a sponsor. So we're happy to have them all aboard. and working on some other sponsors possibly, and we'll have some great prizes and just a good time. Everybody's looking forward to it.
Now that's really
cool.
Also,
this year we've been working closely with Hopkins Burn Center, and we're going to partner with them and help them out with some initiatives that they're working on for their burn unit. So all the proceeds from this shoot will go to John Hopkins.
So that's a really cool thing, and Hopkins is big in that whole area up there, one of the biggest in the country. So that's a really cool thing. Also, just announced that starting in August, the Portland conference will be having the sign up, and the Portland dates are going to be February 25th through March 1st of 2019. If you can believe it, we're up to 2019. Craziness. So some of the other things I wanted to talk about with the both of you is our task force is being revamped a little bit and added to and stuff like that. So if you go on the website, you will be able to see the list of the task force leaders that we have with their areas and their contact information. With that being said, one of our newest guys, name is James Duggins. He was not able to come to FDIC this year, but we did have him out in Portland for the last couple of years. And he lives in Hawaii. So we are now really hitting home with trying to hit all 50 states. So he will be on in a little bit, about 15 minutes or so. But just going through the task force, it's basically been recruited through FDIC and fire engineering almost across the whole country, which is just, I thought was phenomenal. And see what you guys have to say about the task force or any of the members involved, since both of you got to share the house with everybody for the last couple of years out in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
well, I didn't stay at the house this year.
Go ahead, Craig.
I say I didn't stay at the house this year. Me and Bill had our own place.
Yes, so
Bill Dawson.
That's one of the things I wanted to talk about also is having Bill Dawson out there, who was, you know, one of the first ever, what do they call it, underwater demolition teams?
Well, he was in the first class of NCDU, which was the Naval Combat Demolition Unit. So he was in the very first class, and he's the last surviving member of that class.
And that's what basically went on to become Navy SEALs, correct?
Well, they went to UDP, and then they went on in 62 or 63 after Kennedy got into office, and then he created the SEALs.
So Bill Dawson did a career doing that, and then he went to the Washington, D.C. Fire Department, correct? And how many years did he do there?
He did 25 years with D.C. He retired, believe it or not, 1971, and is still drawing a pension today, some 40-some years later. So. He's getting
probably not much
work.
Of a pension, but
it's certainly a lot better than what it was when he started.
Yeah,
I just wanted. I also wanted to let both of you know my son's sitting with me. My son Reagan at 6, but he's wearing his Incredibles shirt because he went to see the new Incredibles 2 movie twice already. Reagan, was it a good movie? Yeah. Huh? All right. My other son just had his birthday turned 8 2 days ago, so we're moving up in the world. And Reagan says he's going to be a firefighter one day after he's a football player. And what else are you going to do?
Superhero.
Oh, a superhero.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And
well,
then
if he gets to Rescue One, he'll be a superhero automatically.
And then he's got exactly. And now he's going to be a President of the United States after that, because he's got the name, he's named after President Reagan. So
there you go.
He's got a little long list of things to accomplish here. First of which is to put his Lego together that he's tried this morning.
Right. So as far as FDIC went, it was, you know, just great, you know, to see everybody. I mean, obviously, you know, you and Greg, Chad Gruber was out there. He's our task force director. So he kind of, you know, takes care of the business, the daily some of the operations with the staff there in the office down in Dallas. And so you can always contact him for anything. Shane, obviously out of Illinois. Jeff Frost, Josh, Dina. We have Brotherton, Ryan Brotherton out of Columbus. So just Ryan Murphy. Who else do we have out there? We had, I'm trying to think. The booth was full. So we had time to stand in the booth, and then you had, you know, you kind of rolled out and checked on something or stepped out of the booth to get a bite to eat, and then somebody was there to fill your spot and take care of business. And we sold out of all of our shirts, all of our coins, and I think the van rolled back to Dallas with a whole lot less in it. So that was the point.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going over, I thought I was handicapped until we had to go over and check on Greg and Bill Dawson the whole time.
I tell you, that was a sight for sore eyes, the two of us.
Yeah,
thank
made me
God
feel
we had
good about myself.
Yeah.
I felt really good about myself. But actually, you know, to have Bill come there and, you know, to have Bobby Halton come over there and Birdman, who was a Navy SEAL, I mean, it was just a really special moment. And to have that all captured on social media and all the pictures that were taken and everything else. And I'm sure Bill really got a kick out of it too, Greg.
Oh, he loved it. He always speaks highly of Sons of the Flag because we've always been there for him to help him out. And he just, you know, believes a lot in the organization and just loves us to death. So he's really appreciative of it. I'm appreciative of the help that I got from you guys because, you know, with my injury, I couldn't do anything. And Glenn stepped up with the rest of the guys from the Suns to help me set my booth up. And we couldn't have done it without you guys. So it's, you know, it's just testimony to the brotherhood. Brotherhood on the job,
yes,
and then Sons of the Flag brotherhood.
Yes, sir. And my leg wasn't doing much better, and I was having trouble getting around. So thankfully, that's a lot better now, and I don't have to worry about that. But, man, it's just crazy how many people we got there coming. And now, if you go on sonsoftheflag.org, you can take a look at our task force, and you'll see how many members are on there. And there's a few missing still, so it's getting larger and larger. So I'm looking forward to next year at FDIC.
No doubt. And you're talking social media, and nothing works without Landon. Landon Shaw was there, and, you know, he answered every question, was able to get all of our phones working properly to be able to take orders and get things right. So he rode out, and I don't know if he flew or he rode, but anyway, he was there, and so he kept everything together. So we got to get Omar out there with us on the next one. So we got to work on
yes,
that.
Sir.
That's like a goal. So.
Yes, sir. Omar would be a definite hit out there.
Yeah.
You know, I should mention also we got some cool, along with the rest of the swag that we had. We had those cool helmet shields from the Paul Conway made for us.
Yes, that's right. I'm looking at one right now. Yep.
He does some really high quality work, man. They were really, really nice. I actually brought one down to my father when I was down in Florida last week, and I hope it was not as hot where you guys were, but it was about 100 degrees every day in Florida.
Yeah, I was cooking here in Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It was really hot. And you know how hot it is when you take your kids and surprise them going into Disney World and they have a meltdown that all they wanted to do was go to grandma's house.
Forget the AC.
Oh, my God. All they wanted to do was go to grandma and go in the pool.
Yeah.
So, anyway, James will be calling in a few minutes. We have a couple other things going on. If you do go to the sonsoftheflag.org, you can find out one of the things that's coming down the pipeline about what we do and the main reason why we're in business. And you will see a thing called future programs. If you click on the programs part, And you'll see some of the programs that we do now. And then you will see this other one called Operation Freedom Reconstruct. And you can read all about it on there with the partnerships that Sons of the Flag has with several hospitals. And this is going to involve military and firefighters. So it's a really cool thing. If you guys have nothing to do, check out sonsoftheflag.org and Mission Reconstruct. One of our programs coming down the pipeline. This is Birdman's Baby, and you can check it out. It's really cool. I could explain it to you, but it would be a lot better if you read it. So, it's, again, that's sonsoftheflag.org. We'll put more out there as it becomes more available, but that's what's right there right now. There's a 50-50, 50 guns in 50 days raffle going on that's on the website also. So the website's in the process of being redone. The task force part of it's mostly done already. So just keep your eyes and ears open for more changes coming down the pipeline and more swag and all the rest of that good stuff. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, as much as we like talking on the phone and everything else, I really enjoy, you know, with us getting out and getting to a location like FDIC or one of the other conferences that we go to or the clay shooting or whatever we do, because we all hang out and have all common interest and stuff. And that's like Greg said, you know, the brotherhood is second to none.
Absolutely. Yep. I'm looking forward to getting you out to the clay shoot there, John, both you and Bird. So,
yeah. Now, hey, what was the date of the clay shoot?
October 6th. Saturday in October.
So we have the clay shoot, the Rosecrans Florian Symposium, the Millersville Conference, and there's something else, all in October.
Busy month.
Yeah.
And it's my 50th birthday, too, by the way, so we got a whole month to celebrate.
Wow. Catching up with me, John. So,
yeah, well, I don't know about that. We got a ways to go, but let's pull in James here on from Honolulu and see what he has to say here. Hello, James, is that you?
Hey, how's it, guys? Yeah, this is James.
Hey, James. So we're on the air. This is John Walters, obviously. We're on the air with Greg Turnell from Washington, D.C.
Hey.
And Glenn Burnett.
Hey, guys,
Glenn,
how's it going?
Hey, how are you? How's the weather in Honolulu?
You know, it's actually pretty much how it is all the time. Right around the 80s, we got a nice trade wind going, which is nice because we have the volcano down on the Big Island's been pumping out a bunch of sulfuric dioxide and everything, giving us this nice, pretty crappy fog kind of been blowing around and really hazy. So the trade winds came back and kind of blew it all away. So we're back to a nice paradise like living again. So.
Must be tough life out there.
Yeah, it's not too bad, man. Not too bad.
So anyway, James, what I typically like to do is we're on the air about every fifth or sixth Tuesday, somewhere thereabout. So I typically like to bring in the new guys like yourself that are part of Sons of the Flag and go over on the air so people around the country and those that listen to Fire Engineering can listen and see who's part of our team. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? And then how you got involved with us.
Well, I am I'm a firefighter in the Honolulu Fire Department. I've been with the department for about 7 years, actually. Just kind of that just clicked over not too long ago. Prior to the fire department, I spent 8 years in the United States Marine Corps. I was a 1812, a tanker, M1A1 tank crewman. Upon getting out, I wound up piloting a desk for about 10 years working in corporate America. I worked for Microsoft and AT&T Wireless and spent about a good chunk of my time in the wireless industry, and then made a big move to Hawaii, got myself out here. I had been testing for the fire department for about eight years, so all over the Northwest, out to Montana, Northern California, and then when I flew out to Hawaii, I think 2 weeks after I moved here, the Honolulu firefighter test came up. Jumped on that, three years later, I got a phone call to get in. So that's kind of what I do. My quick background, Sons of the Flag. Now that's I got involved this year. I'd say back in February. This has been a really fast ascension in this program. I went to the Portland Firemanship Conference, and before I had gone, I had made this kind of, I decided to reinvest into my career as a firefighter and re-spark that passion and start, I wanted to start going to conferences and learning as much as I can. And man, when I was there, John, you spoke, and that was an incredible speech, man. I just remember sitting in there, like 700 dudes and ladies, bunch of mustaches and everything you can imagine, just a bunch of firefighters, and it was just absolute silence as you were telling your story, man. Like the occasional nervous cough, but you had people glued, brother. And Birdman goes up there and he's doing his speech, and it's all, you know, motivating, and he's talking about going around the country and harvesting souls and wanting to do good for the world. And I just got super motivated, and I ran up and I was sitting with my guys from Honolulu, and I was like, dude, I'm gonna go talk to him. Let's bring that, you know, let's bring it to Hawaii. And literally, as soon as they got done speaking, I kind of ran up. I kind of pushed my way in front of Birdman and told him, I was like, hey, man, let's work. And that was about it. He gave me his phone number. I sent him a picture of me half naked, and I think that solidified our relationship. And here I am.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I know it's something that Turnell has never seen because he has a flip phone still and can't access any of those kind of things.
Yeah.
I'll email him a postcard. Yeah.
Yeah. Flip phone's got benefit.
Were you, James, were you there when Omar was speaking, the year that Omar was speaking?
No, man. I really wish I want to meet that dude so bad. Yeah, last year was my first foray into the conference circuit.
Oh, okay.
I guess
so you were there.
Say, so. Yeah.
We had one of Birdman's buddies was there, the Navy SEAL. And there was a couple of really good speakers that were there. If you remember, the chief named Pat Kenny talked about losing his son. Pat Kenny doesn't leave a dry eye in the audience. He will be going to the Rosecrans-Florian program seminar. That's going to be up in October, also out this way on the East Coast. But that's for first responders and military mental health awareness and stuff. And Pat Kenny will be speaking there also. And he's just an awesome, awesome dude. And I met him through Bobby Halton and Dan DeGrice and stuff. And Dan happened to be the keynote speaker at FDIC this year, James, so we're going to have to get your butt out there this year to Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready to flow some tears, man. Ready to feel. So.
Especially if you like hot food, because they got the hottest what do you call them, shrimps in the world.
Oh, man, I grew up, so I'm half Korean, so I grew up eating my mom's, Korean food my entire life, growing up kimchi and everything spicy and red and angry. And man, I don't know what it is. The older I get, man, I sit atop the iron flaming throne within hours after eating spicy food, but it's almost, is the after effect worth the pleasure up front? I don't know, but I still keep going after it, but one of these days I'll probably figure it out.
Well, the thing about this is it's the cocktail sauce. So when they make homemade horseradish, it hits you hard just like a hot sauce does, but it goes away right away. Hot sauces tend to linger. So it's been a Sons of the Flag tradition. And I guess that's our hazing thing now, since you're not allowed to haze anymore or any of that kind of stuff. So When we took the Navy SEAL there and it brought him to his knees, I said, oh, we found something good here.
Yeah, challenge accepted. I'm ready.
So, so anyway, we'll talk more as the time gets on, and we'll get you out to FDIC and meet the part of the troops. And one of the things that I like to do, being involved with the task force, is I get guys from all over the country that want to be a task force member like yourself and like Greg and Glenn, who are on the air also. And 9 times out of 10, they don't know each other. None of the guys know each other because we're all from different parts of the world.
Yeah.
So what we do is we get a house out in FDIC, and we bring everybody out there, and we all stay at the house because that way you get some camaraderie and a little bit of face behind the name and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that, not only that, but we set up schedule then so that we don't have, you know, 12 people in the booth 1 minute and nobody the next minute and that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
It's really a bonding thing, and you can hear stuff right out of Birdman's mouth about what we're doing. And it doesn't get lost through a conference call and all that kind of stuff, being that that's the nature of the beast. So there's nothing like doing a face-to-face and having fun while we're doing it. So we don't take it lightly that we do a lot of good stuff, but we also have fun doing it. And, you know, I that brings me to – I made some notes before the show. I wanted to remind everybody that tomorrow is obviously the 4th of July. It's one of the biggest days of the year for fire duty. I know New York used to be notorious for being busy as hell on the 4th of July. Not so much anymore, but there is a lot of injuries, specifically people getting hurt with fireworks and burned. So we would like to caution everybody about that, and please use discretion and good judgment. I don't know about you, James, but where I live in South Carolina now, you can go in a store and buy fireworks. It's crazy.
Yeah,
generally, fireworks and the alcohol.
Yeah, a winning combination, yeah. No, we actually, 4th of July isn't as crazy as you'd think over here. Our big crazy firework holiday is actually New Year's, Chinese New Year's, and then the New Year's holiday, like actual New Year's.
Right.
The first time I moved here, I literally thought we were under attack. Like, it is just out of control, the mortars and the aerials that go off in the neighborhoods, to the point where there's that thick gun smoke, like haze that just sits over the city for like a day. And it blows me away. So our big thing is my station, we have a rescue watercraft because we're right on the water, pretty close to the water. So more so than the fireworks, we actually have there's a flotilla, like a drunken flotilla out in Waikiki that we're going to probably wind up be patrolling and cruising in the water because the teens like to go out there and just drink all day in the hot summer with no water, floating around on a $3 raft. You know, so that's usually where we wind up getting our busyness, which, funny enough, I probably would have been there fast forward, you know, rewind 20 years, I probably would have been jackass number one in that in that pile, but.
Now, James, do you guys do EMS there too?
Yeah, we're all EMT basics in Honolulu. So we responded as first responders. Our EMS department is separate from fire, but we all have our EMT basic certifications.
Gotcha. So those things with the burns and everything, you'd be going on anyway.
Absolutely. Yep.
Nice. Well, hang on 1 second. I have a little technical issue here. My whole screen just went sideways somehow. Well, as long as nobody screws anything up, we'll be all right. That was very odd. So one of the things about doing live radio is you have to be a technical engineer, of which I am not. So sometimes it goes a little haywire on us, but it is what it is. So hopefully I can get this fixed because I can't see the screen at all. No idea what happened.
Flip phone technology, John. Flip phone technology.
I know. We didn't have problems then.
Reliable, tried and true.
Hey, it's a rock tablet. It's tapped out, and you basically can read it, whether it's on sideways or straight up. It's all good, man. You're good. Don't worry.
I feel like I got to remember codes. I feel like I got to remember codes like when people had beepers, though.
That's right.
Oh, man. Mine was 007. I still remember my pager code.
Hey, I still have a pager, believe it or not.
You do not.
Oh, man.
I do. It's the old Rescue Squad 3 pager. They hand it off to officers when they come and go. And I still, it doesn't work, but I still have it.
Paperweight.
That's right.
Yeah. Some things never cease to amaze me.
That's great.
Well, I lost the screen completely here.
But we can still hear you, John, so we're doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost back. All right.
So, James, talk a little bit about, while he's figuring that out, talk a little bit about Hawaii and Honolulu. What are you mostly in your first due? Are you residential? Are you high-rise district? Or so where do you work so we can understand where you work?
So I work at Station 31. I'm on the engine there. Honolulu, so I work for the city and county of Honolulu, which encompasses the entire island of Oahu. So we have 43 stations, about 1,100 firefighters. Again, we're all trained as EMT basics. We have a couple helicopters, the rescue squads, hazmat crews, rescue boats. We have rescue watercraft, jet skis at numerous stations. A lot of the ladder trucks and the engines have rescue boards, like just giant surfboards on them. We're all trained in swim rescue. Hazmat tech. Some of us are up to hazmat techs, but we're all hazmat awareness and operations, and we're pretty much an all hands, all emergency department because we cover, you know, on one day, because I'm in a more of an industrial area, so we'll go to we went had like a 5,000 gallon propane tank at the docks that fallen off the high lift jack, and the actual high lift itself caught on fire, so the propane tanks being impinged by flames as the tracker itself is burning. And then we'll go from that, and then next thing you know, we can go to a water rescue. We'll go up in the mountains. You know, I've been dropped off in a basket in a helicopter to go do brush fire, you know, wildland fire out more on the west side. So we got a lot of brush fires out here too. So we're coming into brush fire season. So, I mean, we literally will do everything you can imagine in one shift or in one cycle. So just pretty awesome. Absolutely.
Nice.
A lot of variety.
I'll tell you what, that forest fighting stuff, you can keep it, man. That stuff's dangerous.
Yeah, it's hard work, man. It is hard work.
That is a young man's game.
No, it is.
Yep.
That is unbelievable. You know, I did a couple of those, and holy moly, good Lord. You know what? While you just mentioned that.
Where did you have a brush fire? You were in New York City. Would you have a scrub brush on fire?
Somebody had a bamboo garden in their backyard.
Dude, you want to laugh.
Is burning.
You haven't seen a brush fire until you've seen them stretch an inch and three-quarter hose for a brush fire.
You're killing me.
It's unbelievable. In 1995, they had a 5,000-acre fire on the east end of Long Island, out by the Hamptons, where all the movie stars go and stuff.
Right.
And they sent 10 engine companies from FDNY on an hour and a half ride.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
It was one of those like everybody was pitching in, so you don't want to look like you're not pitching in.
Mm-hmm.
But you get there, and you know they got brush trucks, and we got a 500 gallon pumper. Kind of crazy, but James, you just brought it up that you do kind of everything with the water rescue and everything else. Just reminded me that where I live in Myrtle Beach here, the chief Alvin Payne retired, I think, 2 days ago. He had 39 years on the job here. And they took over doing all the water stuff and everything else, being that they're on the ocean here. And he took good care of us with Sons of the Flag, too. So we'd like to wish Alvin Payne
cool.
a good, healthy, long retirement after his 39 years on the job. And
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a long time, man. Long time. Reagan, you want to say hi?
That is serving as long as I've been alive.
Do you know, you want to talk to Greg? He's a firefighter in Washington, D.C., where the White House is. Your socks are in the dryer, buddy. I'll get them. I don't know. They're in your dresser. You want to say hi to everybody? No, huh? Okay. Trying to train them here, but not going too well. Anyway.
Tell Reagan we look forward to seeing him in the White House.
Exactly. I hope it's better than I was at the White House with you, Greg.
Yeah, that was quite the experience.
Oh, my God. Yeah, James, I don't know if you noticed, but we're like high rollers here. We go right to the White House.
Straight, you got that back access channel, though.
Yeah.
Even got challenge coins, remember?
Yeah, we got challenge coins from the vice president. It was some good stuff there. And my kid's going to get ice cream?
Yeah.
All right. Kids are going to get ice cream. They're all set.
Bye.
So we had swimming this week, all kinds of stuff. It's been insane. And it's tough keeping up with these kids at that age because one's 6 and one's 8.
Nice.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
You got to keep them busy.
Jeez. You know, they come out with everything on these tablets and the Legos with Minecraft and stuff, and it's like it's not anything that I've ever done before, so I'm not really familiar with any of it. They don't have, like, the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip, you know what I mean?
Or the big heavy metal Tonka toy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They had the ladder company back where I used to work in Brooklyn was called the Tonka truck. And it just got, I don't even know how it got named that. They just went to a lot of fire duty back in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s. And they just got the nickname Tonka truck because it was like indestructible. So I thought that was pretty cool. Nowadays, people are like, what the heck is a Tonka truck?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Some of us remember. We'll hold on to that. We'll hold on to the good times.
So, James, the other thing is, so do you guys, when you do the meal in the firehouse, is Spam included in that at all or what?
Yeah. I have cooked many a Spam sandwiches at work. It's actually kind of it's a good lunch. You make a little egg salad, and you dice up the Spam, and you pan fry it in its own juice until they get nice and crunchy. And you just put them in the egg salad. So, yeah. Pretty good. Definitely gets the sodium content up in those sandwiches a little bit. So be ready to sweat it out.
Good Lord. Well, I'm sure it's probably not as humid as it is on the East Coast, though, over here.
It really depends on the winds. I mean, right now we have the trade winds, so they come in from the north. They're nice and cool and dry. But whenever we get the Kona winds, those are the ones that come up from the south, so they bring all that equatorial heat and humidity up with them. And the VOG from the Big Island or the volcano.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it gets super heavy, super thick. Your eyes start getting kind of itchy. And like I said, it's been really bad with all the active eruptions going on right now. But, it's all good. Still living in Hawaii, so can't complain too much.
Yes, I can tell. Yeah. I can tell by trying to plan my honeymoon that January seems to be a fairly expensive month in Honolulu. When the rest of the country is freezing.
Yep.
You pretty much have to go to Puerto Rico or Hawaii.
Yep.
James, what kind of schedule do you work in Honolulu?
We work a Kelly schedule. So we'll work a 24-hour shift, 24 off, 24 on, 24 off, 24 on, and then we'll have 4 days off.
Okay, what's that, 84-hour?
I'd be confused.
Yeah, so we just work a 24-hour shift. We work 3 24-hour shifts with a 24-hour in between. But after our third shift, we get 4 days off, so 96 days off or hours. Yeah.
I got
three
platoons.
Three platoons out here. Yeah. Yeah, jeez. It really is. Not a bad gig, so.
That's just craziness. I thought we had a crazy schedule.
What did you guys work in your FDNY? What was your guys'?
If I told you, we'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
But it's 2 day tours in a row from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then you got two night tours. So you got 2 day tours. Huh?
That's like a banker.
Well, you got 2 day tours in a row and a day off. Then you got two night tours in a row, which is from 6 at night till 9 in the morning. And then you got 3 days off. And every third set of day tours, you get an extra day off called the Chinese 72. And nobody knows why it's called the Chinese 72, but that's what it's called. So basically,
that's what it shall be called, yeah.
Everybody in the company has a number of 1 through 25. And whoever's about 12 or 13 numbers opposite you is basically doing the opposite schedule. So in other words, if I'm doing my 2 days, the guy opposite's doing his 2 nights. So we swap a day and a night, and you get a 24 out of it.
Got it. Gotcha.
So it depends. So a lot
taking
sometimes.
Class.
Yeah. Well,
algebra.
everywhere you go in the FDNY, people have their calendar with them.
Yeah.
Because there's two shifts a day, and you know people are picking up tours for other people, and you need to know which half of the 24 you're working because it could be the first half or the second half. And a lot of times the 24 starts at night and ends the following night, not morning to morning. Sometimes people do the middle part and the 24 partner does the outsides, which would be the day tour and the night tour on the other end. So it's you got to really know what you're doing with your 24 partner. And more importantly, you got to instill in the brotherhood when they first get there about screwing it up because it's easy to screw up and you cannot have people not showing up.
Right.
So, of course, today everything's computerized, so it's a lot harder to do that kind of stuff. But it's a very screwy system. And then as soon as somebody goes on medical leave or something else, there goes your 24s. And like Greg right now would be on medical leave. His 24 partner would be killing him. So it's complicated, but it's it works out. They have it down pat. So
yeah.
And over here in Myrtle Beach, they do 24-48. So they do 24 on, 48 off.
Now, Virginia Beach used to be like that, and then we went to that 7 day or the 21 day schedule where you have a hell week. You work first part and then on off, and then you're off. You know, basically when you work the Monday, you don't work until Friday again, and then you go from you work Friday, Sunday, and then you come up to your Wednesday. And so it's pretty good. It works. It's a good way to do it. You just have to, like you say, you just have to pay attention to when you're working and when you're trading time. And you just can't work more than, for us, we can't work more than 48 in a row. We would,
right.
Whether that's overtime or trades or whatever, unless it's a specific incident or, you know, specific for an event, you know,
yeah.
Hurricane. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how things work like that. But most people, until you start going to places like FDIC and talking to other firefighters, you don't realize some of them are doing 56-hour weeks. Some of them are doing 40-hour weeks. I mean, it's a big difference.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're a 56-hour week with ours.
See, it's a big difference. In New York, we were doing a 40-hour week, basically.
Well, we got you beat by 2 hours in D.C. We're still 42-hour week, so.
Oh, there you go.
24 on, 72 off. So that's a great schedule. I've worked for 3-3-3, 24-48, and there's nothing like the 24-72. The only thing the downfall of 24-72 is when you get new guys on the job, you don't run the frequency of fires that you used to, and now that you're only working one day and then off three, your chances of running a fire even diminish more. So that's the one downfall.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I, Greg, the thing that I always felt the oddest with is that people do this ABC schedule, and you know, obviously we didn't have that, so we did a 25-day schedule where everybody had a number 1 through 25, and then so at any given time you're working with different people all the time, so you work with everybody in the company.
Mm.
So
exactly.
It's a true,
yep.
It's a true company. Mm. Not, you know, some places, but you go there, and I've been to the places like where my brother works here, and they had 3 different refrigerators.
Right.
And I'm like,
yep.
That's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, we got 4.
Yeah.
So, you know, I work with my company, and then I might, if I work overtime, work with number 2 platoon. So, but 3 and 4 platoon, I never see them.
Now, we had only 1 refrigerator, but, you know, we took a lot of pride in knowing that if somebody was coming in the next tour and they were a seagull that rose after the free food, we would doctor it up a little bit, knowing they were going to be the first ones getting their hands in on it.
Oh, yeah.
Salt the ice.
No, you know, there's something,
yep.
Nothing like putting some Dave's Insanity sauce on it, you know, or whatever, but, you know. It's always fun. You know, nowadays you get in trouble for everything, but I'm kind of glad I'm retired the way things are going. But
oh, yeah. Everything
funny.
Is filmed now. Everything is real time. You can't, you know, even not just around the firehouse, but you go out and do your job on the street. If someone's not filming you, the security camera's got you, or the police, they've got cameras now. Every aspect of your job is being filmed. And that's why
these
guys have got to watch what they do, watch what they say. The most innocent thing that they say could be taken out of context. And it's really a sad state that we're in right now, and it's tough.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, we rolled up to a structure last cycle. This is an abandoned house, and then our second in. And there were a bunch of people partying. It was like a Friday. People just partying, having some drinks in their carports. And as we're trying to, like, wind our way down the really narrow street with all the cars parked on both sides, you know, so it's super narrow, trying to get our engine through there. And it's just we had to, like, blast horn at people standing because there's just throngs of people completely oblivious to us coming through, even with the sirens and horns blaring, and all of them had their phones up, and everyone's like filming it or Snapchatting it or Facebook Living, or no one's going over to see what's going on, seeing if anyone needs any help. They're just standing there filming the whole thing, completely uninvolved and just in the way.
Yeah.
You see that everywhere we go.
That's just crazy.
That's not that's definitely not area specific. That is everywhere. Like Craig said, it's everywhere. So,
Yeah,
especially, you know, D.C. with all the people traveling, and then, you know, tourists. And for you, same thing. Virginia Beach will have the same thing. You know, you can be just riding down the road, and all of a sudden, you know, you see a cell phone stick out of a sunroof or something, and it's like, well, I don't even know if you're in the scene, but you just, you know, hey, just pay attention to pulling over. What happened to people? I'm going to go on a rant. How come people don't pull
over?
We all
ran away, yes.
somebody came up with a thing, pull to the nearest curb. So you'll have a car stop on the right side and a car stop on the left, and you then have to serpentine through the cars. Pull to the right.
Right.
Make it easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thread the needle, as we like to call it, when we're cruising down Nimitz Highway.
Yeah,
bouncing
exactly.
Around cars.
Yeah. Well, Cam Highway doesn't give you any room. That's the problem. If you're on the North Shore, it's two lane. You have nothing.
Yeah, exactly right. So it's full. Well, the thing is, the nice thing when you're responding to alarms, it's really fun getting to buck traffic. It's just the problem when we're returning to the station after, and I have to sit in line with everybody else, where it's like, oh my god, I'm gonna be out here for 45 minutes just to get back. But
what is that station that's on Cam Highway right there by Sharks Cove and the Foodland? What is that, 12?
That's Station 11. Station 11,
11.
Sunset Beach. Yep.
Yeah.
Probably the finest view in all of the world.
Oh, my God. You open the back bay door, and you're looking at the ocean. It's incredible.
You're right there on the ocean. I mean, like, you can just dive in from the back. It's incredible.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Now, we're on the subject of phones and distractions and what have you, and that's one of the greatest threats to firefighters today. You know, it used to be when I came on, it was actually the fire, you know, getting burned, falling through a floor or some fire ground injury. But today, with all the distractions you have in the street, people not paying heed to fire apparatus on the scene, accident scene, fire scene, running over hose lines, dragging hose lines down the street, taking out two or three firemen at a time. I mean, it's so many distractions, people just don't pay attention. And your biggest threat, one of your biggest threats is just being on the fire ground or an accident scene around other vehicles. People are not looking for you. And guys have really got to have a heightened alert.
Yeah, we look like clowns out there. We'll have our fur turnout gear. We'll have all our, like, ultra high vis and tech tree, like the vests and everything. I mean, sort of having, like, disco balls attached to our helmets, you know?
But when
like,
you got somebody – that's great, but when somebody's not paying attention, all the fluorescent vests in the world are not going to protect you. You have to
have do a damn thing.
Heightened
I hear
level
you.
Of – your head's got to be on a swivel and always looking around and using the apparatus as a safety zone.
You got that right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, let's see if we can recap here a little bit, fellas. So we got obviously 4th of July fireworks problems coming up. We got the Warrior East Expo coming up.
In Virginia Beach? That's right.
This month in Virginia Beach. We will be out in Greg's neighborhood doing some clay shooting October 6th. Maryland, and the 22nd and the 24th will be in Millersville, Maryland. We do have another one coming in Wichita. That'll be up on the website. And the Portland conference will be February 25th, 1st of 2019. And I just talked to my partner in crime, Captain Mike Dugan, about FDIC. So we put in to teach a class again this year, and we'll see how that goes. Wishing the captain best of luck. He just got back from a trip to Ireland, so that was pretty cool. And if you guys happen to run into Chief Halton, make sure you tell him that my Mustang is nicer than his Mustang. We both have 1965 Mustangs. That's like the inside joke. Almost as old as Turnell.
You're creeping up to me, John.
I know.
Yeah.
The car's still 3 years younger than me. Anyway, guys, thanks for coming on with us here. We're going to wrap it up. And check us out, sonsoftheflag.org. We're on about every fifth or sixth Tuesday on Sons of the Flag on fireengineering.com/blogtalkradio. And also, don't forget you can tell your friends that you can listen to any episode at any time. And our social media guy will be posting our episodes on the website. So you can download the website, the episode of Sons of the Flag anytime that you want. James, pleasure for you to call in and talk to all of us. Can't thank you enough. I know the time difference there is a little bit. And Greg and Glenn. Pleasure as always. I'll be in touch and we'll get some stuff rolling. And Chad just texted me that he hopes to have the stuff to you for Warrior East.
Woo! My man Chad, help me out.
So we shall see. Chad's had a busy week this week, so hopefully everything's going all right in his world. And oh boy, getting more text messages here. Anyway, we'll be on in about five Tuesdays. We'll look for us on social media, sonsoftheflag.org, and we will see you all at a conference and hopefully at FDIC this year. And thanks again, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, brother. Stay low. Keep your helmet on.
All right. Aloha, everybody.
Thanks, brother.
Nice meeting you, buddy. See you, bye.
Same.